Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Are you a business looking for a fresh new way to reach potential customers? Well, you need to get airtime on IT TV, a 24/7 streaming and on-demand TV service online and on Roku. With Roku having a potential reach of 62 million people, it's a perfect opportunity to reach potential customers through affordable commercial and infomercial spots. Visit us online today at itnetwork.tv.
Good morning. I'm so excited. Why? Because it's Thursday and I'm here with you today. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I'm bringing you an incredible group of guests. We're going to learn, we're going to laugh, we're going to take some notes, but we want to go ahead and share the show with your network. So if there's someone in your network, maybe they're asleep, they're watching television. We know that's no good for them. They're posting on social media. They need to be here right now watching the Roundtable Talk Show. But they won't have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. And as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're introducing the show to your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my first guest. You will love this lovely lady, Miss Gregory Ann Cox. Gregory's a coach, author, podcaster for women over 50 who aren't done yet. Her mission is to prove that aging happens, but it doesn't have to ruin your life. She provides lifestyle assessments and coaching. Good morning, Gregory. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you so much for asking.
I am excited to learn more about you. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Who I am is this person who came into the world with a belief that not everything is always as it seems, and that if we dig a little deeper, sometimes we actually get to the truth in this crazy world, especially these days with so much noise. It's hard to know what the right thing to do is to stay well, to stay happy, to stay engaged in life. And a lot of conversation once we get to be 50, 60, 70 is time for decline, go sit in a corner, be quiet, we're not interested in you anymore. But most of the people these days that I interact with know that that is so not the case. So what I do is I dig for the truth, and it's sometimes found in the conventional wisdom, not always. Western medicine is great for emergencies, but it's not in the business of healthcare or wellness care. Then I share it in easy ways for people to understand. And some of the places that we find health tips and strategies are not in the conventional wisdom. They're in alternative situations. Maybe they're even psychedelic mushrooms. There's quite a buzz around that stuff these days. So nothing is off the table, but I never share anything that I can't prove that is safe for people to try. I'm a coach. I've been coaching since 2004. And I used to be a professional chef. I still love food and good food, good wine. And I love to be around people. And this conversation is going to be really exciting. I love meeting new people and hearing what they have to say.
Wonderful. We're going to learn more about you, Ms. Gregory, but I was listening to everything you had to say, and I was like, this is good. This is good. And then I heard psychedelic mushrooms, and I was like, what's she saying? What did Gregory just say? I'm like, no, I got to make sure I have enough time for everyone, because I know where this conversation is going to go. I have some questions, but I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Donna Ferguson. Donna is CEO of Unique Vibrations and transforms the bottom line in businesses through root causes. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My journey has been a very interesting one. And like Gregory, I believe we came into this world with a purpose, and it was about going on a bit of an adventure to find out what that purpose was, which led me down some very strange pathways. And I found that I was locked into a marriage of domestic violence, which was quite horrific, and felt like it was time for me to get away from that situation. And so what I've done is found myself helping other women working through different situations. And I just did it, you know, I was working full time, and I found that people were saying, you need to do this. You've got such a knack for celebrating people and getting them to understand who they are. And as we are the highest form of creation, I believe we were put here to create. And therefore, I started creating. And that led me along a few different businesses. And now I set a very big intention for my business today, Unique Vibrations Coaching. And it was around the name. It was around universal laws. It was around root causes and helping, because we're, even with businesses, they have, you know, if they're looking for better productivity with their teams, what they're looking for is usually a reflection of themselves to heal something that's causing them to be blocked. And so that's what I love doing. And I love seeing the transition from going from this level to, you know, taking quantum leaps, because we actually do heal from the inside out. So that's what I love to do. And, you know, I love working with clients and just seeing the gratification and empowering them to actually go on their journey.
We have some questions for you, a lot of questions, but we are going to come back to you. I'm going to go ahead and introduce my next guest, Coach Carol DeMonaco. Carol is a life coach, Myrna, curious questioner, and passionate about creating a world that works for all living beings. Good morning, Coach Carol. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I want to learn more about you, who you are, and what you do.
All right. So I am a coach. I'm a mama. I am a, my friends call me a passionate crusader. I care really deeply about the world, and that includes humans and the more than human world. So my my vision of a world is one where humans move a little out of the individualized mindset and more into a self and world way of seeing, and are able to share more and care more about each other. So, you know, where we are right now in this kind of really crazy time with the pandemic, we can see so much separation. So I work to help people connect more fully to themselves and find ways to be in healthier relationship with both their interior life and the world that we live in. So I like to say that I help really heart-focused activists kind of connect more with more parts of themselves to be in greater service to the world, because that's what I try and do as well. So I work with a variety of different kinds of people. I created a couple guidebooks that kind of lead us down the path of wonder. So moving out of kind of our conditioned way of thinking, wonder helps us stay open. It helps us, you know, continue to dig in and create more possibility. It really shifts us from like I know to greater potential to create that world that works for all.
That is so beautiful. Are you an empath?
I am an empath.
You can just tell, because even when you started speaking and you started talking about how much you care about the world, your hand was over your heart for the majority of time you were speaking. And you, when you started talking about caring about the world, I thought you were just literally going to break down and start crying. I was like, oh my God, she really feels this emotion. That is so wonderful. I have more questions for you, but I have to go ahead and introduce our next guest. Usually I wait a little bit for the gentlemen, because, you know, they say the women are the talkers, but I'm pretty sure Coach Jonathan McLernan is going to be able to talk to us and share his views as well. Coach John teaches online coaches how to build lean and efficient, scalable online businesses from the ground up. through a powerful four-step process. Good morning, Coach John. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Well, I'll be honest. I'd actually like a little bit more sleep because I've got a young son who is going through a sleep regression right now. And he's just coming up on 9 months old. And so I could use a little bit more sleep. I'll be truthful.
Wow. Wow. I understand. My son's coming up on 24 years old and I still need some sleep.
Oh, that's awesome. So I'm in for a long next 20 years or so.
Exactly. I'm trying to warn you.
Well, I've had a really crazy, I think, journey through life. If you'd asked me 20 years ago that this is what my next 20 years are going to look like, I wouldn't have believed you. But I've been a number of things. I was a nanotechnology researcher at University of Victoria. and then I became a marine engineer in the Navy. I spent 6 years doing that. My wife and I spent 3 years as globetrotting nomads. We spent 3 years just kind of wandering around the world and exploring different countries and different cultures and things like that. And it was actually during those travels that I went through an experience that dramatically changed my life. I went through a traumatic experience where I was nearly beaten to death. And that, I can speak about it, and it might seem like relatively lightly, but that really changed my entire view on life in the world. And it's actually an experience I've become quite grateful for. It led me on my own journey where I had to go through losing over 100 pounds. So after going through trauma, I became a binge eating food addict. And that led me to eventually building one of my current businesses, which is Freedom Nutrition Coaching. And that's where I work with people really to help them. I call it brain-driven weight loss. I love that we have like an empath here, and we have some other brilliant guests where I'm just teaching people how to view this whole aspect around weight loss in an entirely different perspective from the way that we've been conditioned to think about it. And then along the way, because what you mentioned was the other business that I do, which is I call it Freedom Lifestyle Coaching. And I joke that I'm an anti-guru. So because we live in a social media world where I say fake gurus rent cars and fancy houses for photo shoots to pretend they're financially successful. And I prefer being genuinely authentic. And so, I built my own business and help others build theirs because I actually want to spend less time on my laptop and more time, dating my wife, playing with my son and being outdoors. So I joke that my coaching superpower is X-ray vision. I just look at people and I see what their potential is. The potential lies within them. And it becomes a puzzle and a bit of an adventure for me to help them unlock it. So I absolutely love doing that.
That is wonderful. So you brought up so many different questions. Start my questions. Got two questions for you, John. Actually, you know what? The first, I'm not even going to ask the question. I'm going to phrase it as a statement just to protect the guilty and the innocent. Because it sounds like during this nomad period, there were some psychedelic mushrooms involved. So I'm just saying, I don't know. I can't ask. I don't want to make assumptions.
But there's a lot of cool things that you might try in other countries that you don't necessarily try around here. But I'm from Canada, if anybody hasn't picked up on the accent yet. So
yeah, I love that politically correct answer. He said, I will neither confirm nor deny. So I love it. Second question. Okay, so your X-ray vision, your superpower, how long does that take to kick in? Because we're going to spend an hour together. So I need you to, focus on our guest and let us know what you see. Can you do that?
Usually it's in a one-to-one interaction. It doesn't take very long. I've become pretty good at reading people. And because of that, I say I've been blessed with a really high IQ and EQ. I can't take the credit. I got my brain free of charge 39 years ago. But immediately once I start talking to somebody, I start thinking about their potential to help other people, because really that's what business is about. It's about creating value and helping people. And so my engineering brain starts kicking to high gear and going, how can we create a business system that will help them bring their gifts into the world and create more value and help people? So can't really describe it in any way other than that, I think.
Yeah, no, we don't want a description. We want an example. So we want you to, put the telekinesis or whatever it takes for your superpowers for this show, because there may be someone on the show who needs that extra little you never know. You understand what I'm saying, Donna?
Yeah, absolutely I do. And similar to John, I work with people to help them unlock their true potential and purpose in life as well, and understanding how to release those limiting beliefs and blocks that they don't even know exist. A lot of people may have already done some healing on themselves you know, through their own journey. And when you start asking the right questions, they start bringing things up and going, hey, hang on a minute, I didn't know that was there. We're like, okay, let's just work through that for now. And we'll move on to the next one next week. So, it's very powerful to be able to unlock what's hidden inside people and really give them the reason for their being on this earth.
Yes.
Yeah, I like to say that we live in a cage of our own construction. And the way that I imagine it is at a very early point in our life, maybe 3-4 years old, or even before then, we're sort of told how we ought to believe or how we ought to behave in this world. And that starts to condition us. And sometimes it's helpful because obviously we want to be like social and good human beings. But it's also like as time goes on and those beliefs that start to get formed, get reinforced, it becomes a bit of a protective cage that we live in. And it sometimes it actually stops us from achieving our full potential. And so when I step up to someone and I say, hey, you know what, here's what I see is possible for you. It's kind of like I open the door to the cage and say, maybe you want to step out of this cage and step into these shoes that are waiting for you to fill. But for a lot of people, that prospect, being confronted with a prospect of our own potential, what we could actually achieve is quite terrifying for most people.
Sharifa, can I add something to that?
Absolutely.
I love the thread is, I'm totally behind both of what you guys said, all of what you guys said. And I'd like to say that in the past decade or so, part of the construction that protects people and keeps them in their little cages is not taking responsibility. In the world of health, genetics, people say, well, my family has this, so I'm gonna get this, so why should I bother exercising? Or I, you know, grew up in this way and therefore I have this personality and there's no changing me, I'm 50 or I'm 60. And I'm not judging people, I'm simply saying that it has become acceptable not to actually look inside sometimes, or to look inside and say, well, but that's just the way it is, there's nothing I can do. I like to do the bullshit meter. He's got X-ray vision, I'm not sure what the vibration person has. I just try to get people to call, I call it tell the ugly truth about where you are. There's nothing wrong with it, it's just what is, but if we don't know what is and where we are, can't move out of it.
Oh, that's scary. That's like, yeah. I was kind of excited by John's superpower, but your superpower scares me, Gregory. And I feel like I'm scary. My reasons, I'm going through this weight loss journey, and I'd be like, well, I can't lose the weight. And you're like, that's bullshit. I'm like, ooh, okay.
I can't say it quite that way, but I will say, because sometimes people say, you don't understand, I've tried everything. And I then have to ask, have you tried it this way with me as your coach? Or have you thought about this other way? Maybe you didn't know that this existed for you, because people, you know, we have a best friend and they say, well, I lost 10 pounds on this, you should try it, when it's the totally wrong kind of food program and exercise program for their physiology, because we're all different. We have some things in common. We all breathe, we eat, we poop. Other than that, there's a lot of physiological differences of people, not to mention the psychological differences, which John is an expert in.
Yeah. So can I jump in here,
Sharifa? Absolutely. Jump
so
away.
I love this conversation. So, and I guess I want to add one of the things, I love what you said, Gregory. I'm also a nurse. So I worked as a nurse for a long time and a health coach. And I see what you're saying about how individuals need to take responsibility. And I'm all for responsibility of the individual. But I also realize, as I've worked with people, there's also the responsibility of the systems and the corporations and the communities that we live in. And so for me, it's always looking at and helping people see that, yes, they have that conditioning from childhood and we can peel back that layer and see that. But there's also some of the social constructs and systems that sort of push people still into those boxes. So it's sort of for me like this both and, like I want people to take responsibility and for them also to see the responsibilities of the systems we've created that also hold them in a certain way. And when we can do both of that, when we can sort of see culture, conditioning, and self, because we are the systems, ultimately, we can also change the systems that keep us locked into unhealthy habits in all directions, you know, unhealthy mental habits, unhealthy physical habits, unhealthy spiritual habits, all of them.
Absolutely agreed, Carol.
Yeah, and I would say as a Canadian observing, sorry, Don, I know you want to share too. Just as a Canadian observing what happens sort of south of the border, it sort of baffles me at times, like the way that the American system is set up to, it's called healthcare, but I don't really feel like it's focused on people's health. And it's a very disconnected system where you're seen as like this collection of discrete parts. You know, if something's wrong with your knee, you see a specialist, you know, that specialist. If something's wrong with your kidney, you see a different specialist. And nobody communicates. Nobody looks at the person as a whole person or a whole human being where everything is connected to everything.
Yes, exactly. Totally agree, John. Yeah, totally agree. You know, the reason we have disease in our body is because we've set some sort of suppression of emotional experiences and not let them go. And I'm a big believer that we are here and we create our own economy, and that's where we take responsibility. We don't have to conform to what the government tells us. We don't have to conform to, you know, being in that box. What a lot of people aren't realizing, and this is my belief, I'm not saying that everybody needs to go along this path, but after doing the work that I've done and educating myself on, you know, human behavior and what we have locked inside us, we find that that conditioning and program that we're taught all the way through our lives, particularly once we start in the education system and start moving that through to, you know, our young adult life, we become very comfortable sitting and believing that that's what we're meant to be, when in fact, the physical form of ourselves, which is what we're led to believe is how we live our life, is only based on five senses, which we all know what they are: sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And what we have as a deeper connection to who we truly are is on a much higher level, coming from a much higher source. And that actually is 99.9999% of who we are. So we're not even tapping into what we're capable of, and probably won't for our whole life. But when you do connect to that, who you're truly meant to be on this earth, and allowing yourself to open to those opportunities and other people's perspective, because let's face it, when we've got our blinkers on, we don't see opportunity. And to do that, you know, we have to be open to there's more to our life than just being in a physical form.
I definitely agree, but I just want to kind of go back to one of the things that Coach Carol was saying earlier. I started to notice this word. Everybody was saying and just mentioning just over and over. I'm like, what is this? All of a sudden, everybody would say, oh, this person's a narcissist. This person's a narcissist. This person. I'm like, you know, that word's been in the Webster's forever, but no one has used it as much as I would say probably the last 5 years. And so I Googled this article, and it said in the article that as a society, that's why I was kind of bringing it back to what Coach Carol was saying, as a society, we have gone from, we have moved to a I and me society as opposed to a us and we society. So we are focused on us as individuals, but as a society, I think what Coach Carol was saying, and I'm just so in agreement with, is we need to get back. And I've seen that more in the pandemic, the world getting back to more of like, oh my God, I'm not alone. Like what I do does affect more people than just me. I'd love to hear your thoughts, Carol.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a, gosh, you say it, and again, it makes me almost want to cry, because I realize I'm an American, which I think are probably some of the most individualized people in the world. And while there's a gift to, you know, finding ourselves, I don't want to dismiss that there isn't a gift for us each bringing our gift into the world. But the focus on I has been so great that I think we've lost the potential for the we. And when I say we, I'm also including the more than human world, because we can look at where we are around climate change right now. And we are there because we've put ourselves on a pedestal above all the other beings on the planet. And so part of, again, the work I see is, again, when we're a we and an us, it includes not just humans, but it includes the trees and the water and the air, because without that, we are not going to have a planet. So I think our waking up, our transformation is beyond, seeing beyond even humanity into, again, how do we create a world that works for all living beings, so we're not excluding anything. So just, this is just a for instance, but you know, without insects, we don't have a planet. So, yeah. We don't think about that, but literally we can't live without insects. You know, we won't have the things that we need, but yet we see those as lower beings and things that don't matter as much as humanity does. So I think for me, what's happened is, you know, we have to elevate the world to humanity's level and then move from there.
And I think one of the things that is really important around this discussion, technology is amazing. Look at what we're able to do with technology right now. We have this show live stream. We have people from different countries around the world able to contribute to the discussion. And so I think technology is a wonderful asset to us potentially. But it's also important to understand that we live in what's known as the attention economy. And many people's brains are being hijacked by this. We talk about the rise of narcissism and really sort of self-centeredness. And it's as a result of this technology that's basically engineered to hijack our brains because they want to hold our attention on these things. There's a really wonderful book. Let's see if we can see here, Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport. And for me, this really changed. I run two online businesses, but this really changed my relationship with technology when I realized sort of what these platforms are engineered to do. And it's quite empowering to realize that we don't have to be sort of trapped in this system that's all about just hijacking our brains and holding our eyeballs glued to a screen when there's a much bigger world that's out there.
Yes, excellent point. Excellent point. Now, we talked a little bit about us Americans, Donna, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Look, and I agree with what Carol said and yourself, Sharifa. I do believe that we need a support network. And, you know, we can only do what we're put here to do with that support and working with other people and connecting with them on a deeper level so that we build those relationships and understand, you know, more about that. And, you know, when you talk about narcissism, it seems like people hear a word and all of a sudden that's the fashion, you know. And I just like bringing it back to basics and saying, you know what, they have a disease that they're not able to control, and you know that they need help for that. It's like anything, you know. Even me, I went through that domestic violence marriage, and I'm grateful for that because that's put me right here today in this spot. And you know, I needed support and I needed healing and I needed to do some work to do that, but I didn't do it on my own. And I think we all here in Australia, people are building really big relationships because of what's been going on the last 18 months. And you know, there's so much more collaboration, not just here in Australia, but we're connecting with people around the world as well. And, you know, it's about supporting each other, whether it's, you know, a mixed gender or whether it's women working with women or men supporting men. And, you know, we all need our own support networks for who we are as a gender. But I also believe that we need to mix that up and work together to understand each other on a deeper level as well.
I definitely agree with you, Donna, but I'm just going to drive this point home a little bit more because I understand the disease and the aspect of narcissism. But what I saw was all of a sudden, everybody was just like, okay, if you break up with your boyfriend, oh, he's a narcissist. I'm like, okay, yeah. But maybe you just didn't get along. You know, maybe you weren't right for each other. But all of a sudden, everybody has a medical degree and is diagnosing everybody else in the world narcissistic. I'm like, okay, maybe that person just had a bad day. I think that's more, you know. So I like the way, Donna, how you said, you know, even in a situation, your ex needed help.
Absolutely. And, you know, I thought I was going to die one night, and, you know, that doesn't, you've got to forgive. You know, forgiveness is a really important part, and be grateful for your journey. And, you know, you're right, Sharifa, you know, just because somebody had a bad day, it doesn't make them this person. Or, you know, the use of words is so easy to tap into without having an understanding of what it is. And if they looked up what narcissism was, they would realize that they're only using words that they've heard and don't really understand it. It's the same as, you know, anything that we do. You know, there's a trend in the market for using certain words. And, you know, I agree with that. It's a trend, and tomorrow there'll be a new word and we'll all start using that. But it's what works for them, I guess. And I would say educate yourself more on the terminology that you're using so that you don't brand somebody, because you don't know how much damage you're causing to that person by saying that. And, you know, they don't necessarily deserve that title or that label.
Absolutely. I definitely would agree. Now, we are going to stop for a brief commercial break, and then we will be right back.
You need JordansRooter.com. Get free estimates, 24-hour service, special discounts for seniors and veterans. That's JordansRooter.com. Have a home repair or some remodeling you need done? No problem. We can handle all that, too. Give us a call today at 800-300-0358. At Jordans Rooter, we take pride in our work and always make sure to get the job done right the first time. That's JordansRooter.com. We want to be your Mr. Fix-It.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kimberly Cloud. I have Wigs for Success Incorporated, which deals with men and women of all races, of all genders, with alopecia, cancer, and other debilitating illnesses. If you would like to know more about my nonprofit organization and why I chose to do it, you can reach me at 443-240-7353. If you would also like to donate, you can reach me at wigsforsuccessincorporated.com. Thank you.
I've had this problem.
Big problem.
I really, really needed
a good business consultant.
And I kept searching and searching.
There are so many choices.
It's really hard to find one that has all the things on my list. But I finally did it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you.
If you are looking for one as well,
look no further.
Here's a really good one.
Just use mine.
Use mine.
I'm very satisfied.
Definitely recommend.
Problem gone.
Thank you.
If you are just now tuning in to the Roundtable Talk Show, you have missed an incredible conversation. If I do say so myself, this is one of my favorite shows, and that's why I host it every day. But you should start this show from the beginning and watch it in the archives if you missed any moment of it. I wanted to go over to you, Gregory. We talked a little bit prior to the break, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on the conversation.
Conversation of narcissism, labels. I agree that labels get tossed around. I don't want to say that we live in a shallow time, but because things move so fast, social media is so quick, there's lots and lots of celeb, you know, influencers, and politics is so heated in our country anyway, that the words that become the thing, as someone said before, are just, they, some people need to be a part of the culture, right? So they hear the thing, as you said, Sharifa, the word, and they make it their own. They're going to toss it around. There's also, you know, the phrase cancel culture, even the word influencer. I want to be an influencer. What is an influencer? It's somebody that gets lots of follows on social media. But to what end, right? I don't think that, again, we live in a culture that is very, very quick paced. And so the ideas come and go, and narcissism is going to go away, right? I would hate to say that partially that word got popular because of some political figure that was a big influence in our American culture for the past 4.5 years, but not naming any names. But anyway, I agree that, you know, and people just want to be in the thing that's happening in the moment. So that, I think that's why things get popular, not that they need to be. There should be no weight behind them unless it is a professional using that term, then I'm going to listen. Other than that, stop doing it, people.
Stop doing it. Stop doing it. Now, in a different direction, rebelliousness, being a rebel, cancel culture, kind of go, to me, I'm looking at it the same way, because so often we get caught going in one direction and then somebody comes up and says to us, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to talk about something else. I want to go in a different direction. We try to keep everybody, I think as a society, in the same lane. But then you get to a certain point in your life and you're like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I want to go a different way. Why did you come up with rebellious? Because some people see that as a negative word. We talk about words, negative connotation associated with it.
Yeah, I agree that some people think it is a negative, has a negative connotation. And I don't think I came up with it as much as it became who I am, even as a kid. I was to the letter well behaved. I went to charm school, I went to private school, you know, all those things. However, maybe the things I wanted to study were not, like, they had to be written into the curriculum. When I was offered to go to college instead of staying home, I went to England. I was 17 years old. I went to England because there was something about it. And there was something about the school and the teaching. So I discovered in myself this ability to sort of chart my own path. And that way is the word rebellious applies to me. And for now, as a coach working with women on their health and their businesses, maybe the conventional wisdom, again, I'm going to go back to that phrase of here's how to stay well and healthy and age well, isn't right for that person. So what else can we find? Are you willing to step outside of the box or the path that was predetermined for you? You know, I've never had one job. I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years. But before that, when I was a chef, I would take a job that was way above my pay grade at the time, but I wanted that thing. And I would prove to myself, like, how am I going to get this done? How can I make them appreciate that I'm capable? I got to manage a private island because my marketing hat was on. I presented what I was going to do for that island in such a way that they couldn't refuse. So in the word rebellious, I hope that my embodiment of the word rebellious helps people see that it's not about being negative, not in the least. And I would never say, that's BS, you can't lose weight. I'm not that way. But I hope that what I represent in the world is people finding their full expression, who they really want to be in the world, and that it's okay.
But that's good. Somebody needs to say it's okay, because we're all afraid of getting canceled these days. And John, you're just over there laughing. What's going on, John?
Well, I'm just thinking, if we look at the trends, like the people are going in, it's not a good trend. Right. If we look just from a health perspective, we talk about the health of the planet. But I believe it actually starts with the health of the individual as well. It's like, if we really want to create change, the first area that we need to work on is ourselves. And as we do the work with ourselves, then this can grow and expand. But I also feel like we've lost the art of critical thinking. And Greg really mentioned this fast paced technological world where we're basically being fire hosed with information nonstop every day. If we access digital technology, it makes it really hard for us to take a single piece of information, take a step back and spend a moment with that piece of information and think about it and reflect on it. How does this apply to me and how can I make use of it? And so I really encourage people to try to cultivate critical thinking as a skill. And I wish it was something that we taught in our schools.
Yeah.
Stop there, John. Like.
Can I tag on to that, Sharifa?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because I love this thread. But I think what you're saying, John, too, is that critical thinking for me is about wondering. And, you know, with everything that's happened with the pandemic, one of the things is, you know, we get information and it's the truth versus being able to be open and expansive. And I think a lot about that quote of Descartes, I think, therefore I am, and how much we sort of became, you know, walking people that only think with our head, our brain. And when we're thinking with facts or when we get an answer, we kind of close down. Whereas wondering and staying open to more, to open-ended questions, helps us stay in that critical thinking place. And that critical thinking includes not just our minds, it includes our hearts, it includes our gut instinct, it includes what Donna was saying, like our higher self. It does include all of our senses. It includes other people and the more than human world again. So that way to think wide, like open our perspectives.
Yes.
Yeah.
John, you just stopped. You said, I wish it'd be taught in schools, and I'm waiting for the lesson plan.
Well, I really think in a nutshell, it's just the ability to pause and be mindful and be present. So maybe if we even take a step back from critical thinking and say, What is missing, you know? And for example, I saw a video the other day, and it was about how instead of giving kids detention, they were giving them meditation classes. So when kids were misbehaving, they brought in this place where I work in the world of weight loss as well as business mentorship. And in there, I approach it with what I call compassionate curiosity. I like to say that all behavior makes sense. And I don't mean that all behavior is entirely beneficial or all behavior is necessarily positive. But when we understand how the brain works, all of a sudden that behavior starts to make sense. And when we take this compassionate lens, and I say compassion is not a get out of jail free card. In other words, it's not meant to say, oh, you've had a hard day, just keep going with this destructive behavior, but rather let's seek to understand why this behavior occurs without judgment. And so when I work with people, I say, what we're doing here is we're creating a space for you to wrestle with your demons in the light, essentially. And in that space of compassionate awareness is where we can create transformational change.
See, that's a lesson plan, John. I heard everything you had to say. I'm definitely in agreement with what you had to say, what Carol had to say, because it all comes together. But I think it goes back to that us and we mentality. When you work with people, you know, and give them the ability to think critically, then the world changes. Everything changes. It reminds me of, you know, prior generations would say children are to be seen and not heard. You know, and then raising my kids, I would always tell them, you can say whatever you want to say to me. You just can't say it however you want to say it. You still have to be respectful, but you have to open up these lines of communication. So I definitely agree. I'm trying to see what I'm going to go over to now, because I see Donna's right there. Gregory's right there. The times, let me go over to Gregory for a minute. Times, these times, they are a-changing. Isn't that right, Gregory?
You think? You're still back there at the mushrooms. I know you.
Mushrooms. Don't give me a hard time, Gregory. I'm trying to be like professional because I feel like I'm talking about these mushrooms. Can we talk about the mushrooms?
We can talk about play the into it. So here's the thing about psychedelic mushrooms and other plants that, or mushrooms aren't plants, but other species that have been around for centuries, generations and generations, and all different cultures use psychedelic enhancement to opening awareness and consciousness. And in the 60s and 70s, you know, the world went crazy, the government went crazy, shut down everything, because maybe it was a little bit out of hand, giving college kids, doing tests with college kids on with LSD and stuff. So some modifications had to be put into place, but we went far over to the side of shutting things down. So I think that we have lost important medium to help people. And now even the best university teaching hospitals in our country and around the world, these things are already accepted, are studying MDMA, LSD, and psychedelic mushrooms for the treatment of PTSD and alcoholism and deep trauma in people's lives that have left them incapable of living a normal life. They're depressed oftentimes. People that have PTSD react to, you know, it depends on what caused it, but they react from the past in the present moment, which makes it hard for them to have deep relationships and live, again, normal lives. So aside from treating people, the idea that you might want to use a psychedelic for opening your consciousness, as I said, most people that experience psychedelic, any kind of a trip, talk about the feeling of love and the feeling of acceptance and universality, as we were talking earlier, encompassing the whole of what we see and experience in life as okay, and that we are all connected. So I brought it up as a way, as a point to say, nothing's off the table in my world if somebody wants to try it and they can do it safely and we know that it is safe.
I was with you at the beginning, but I need to ask these questions, especially for our viewers, because the views expressed here on the Roundtable Talk Show do not necessarily reflect Sharifa Hardy's views. That's my little disclaimer. But the mushrooms, those are natural. But then you included LSD and then you included alcohol. It's like, aren't those different mediums, you know, as opposed to...
I didn't say alcohol. I said MDMA.
Oh, MDMA.
And MDMA is another pharmaceutical like LSD. It's made in a lab, right? In those situations, they're being used in a controlled way. Johns Hopkins University, Stanford, the places where they're doing studies with people using LSD and MDMA, and you can just Google it. There are tons of them. They are very controlled studies. They're dose specific to the size and, you know, the temperament of the person. The mushrooms, you could say that it's safer to use something made in a lab because you can be dose specific than a mushroom. You weigh it, you kind of go, okay, a gram. I don't know what I'm talking about. When it comes to dosing, I don't do them. I haven't done them yet. I hope to go to Norway to do one soon after COVID. a guided in experience. But
you've never done a psychedelic mushroom?
Well, they actually use truffles. They're so gourmet there in Norway. I mean, yeah, so they're, Norway has, it's legal in Norway to use mushrooms. And they use truffles, which I think as a professional chef at one point in my life, I mean, I'd rather do a truffle than a... So they have these guided experiences. There are a couple of companies that do them that have quite a great reputation. So point being, if it's grown in a lab and they can mete out the exact dose, maybe that's safer than a mushroom, which, you know, you're picking it, you're drying it, or you're buying it from somebody you don't really know what the dose is. Kind of like pot. I don't also smoke pot, but it's, if you can't regulate what you're giving people, I think it's more of a wild card than if you can do it safely.
I like you, Gregory. I'm just saying that. I just want to throw that out there because you surprised me. You do. I was like, we're talking about mushrooms. You're like, Sharifa, they're truffles. I'm like, okay. Where do you get truffles from? How do you find psychedelic mushrooms? See, this is why I don't want to ask questions, because then I won't get back to the show. But now I'm curious. Like, I wouldn't know where to find mushrooms on the street.
There are lots of places you can go online to find purveyors of psychedelia, whether it's a mushroom or frog urine, or there are a lot of crazy ones. I have never accessed them. I don't know whether they're, how to, you know, I don't know whether certain states, I think Oregon or California just made mushrooms legal. So I don't really have an answer for your question that is satisfying.
It was satisfying because it really wasn't a serious question. I just wanted to know how much you knew about this. So we're going to go over to Oregon.
Yeah. It's Oregon. A lot of things growing in Oregon. It's the right temperature, the right climate.
John, you were going to say something.
Oh, I just wanted to highlight Greg's skill as a wordsmith. I'm not sure if you listened to her ability with words, but she's a master at her craft. And actually, I've hired her as a copywriter for my own business because of this. So I wanted to give a shout out for that. Maybe the other thing I would mention is, so I was more into what's known as nootropics. So that's sort of like brain boosting compounds. And I was a bit of a mad scientist. I had a whole collection of them. And I would say, in discussing these things, so we might also know them as smart drugs. So you might have heard of smart drugs. You might have seen the movie Limitless and things like that. So there's a sense, especially in the business and entrepreneurship community, to think, well, if I can use these smart drugs, it'll give me an advantage over the competition. But it's a double-edged sword and something that we should kind of be careful with here, because, you know, if that becomes your normal, if operating under the influence, say, of these nootropic compounds becomes your normal, when you don't have access to them, your normal becomes depressed. And so just wanted to put out a be thoughtful about how you choose to use these. They can be very beneficial, but as Greg mentioned, they should be used with thoughtfulness and really under qualified supervision.
Yes. I did notice the wordsmith aspect. That's why I was just teasing and having fun with Gregory. I just wanted to see that whole, you know, I can neither confirm nor deny, but it was fun. It was interesting, but we have to go over here to Oregon. This is my little Oregon friend. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
I'm not going to give you a hard time about the psychedelics, but also when we believe that people are in this holistic, you know, I care about the world, let's fight climate change, we often see them as kind of woo-woo, maybe people who sit around and, you know, smoke all day. What are your thoughts, if any, and feel free not to answer the question, about the conversation on psychedelics and enhancements?
Oh, I think it's a fascinating conversation. And I think that they can be, just like Gregory said, you know, because I've been in the healthcare industry too and seen that, but I've also read up on psychedelics sort of like she did. And I think they can be a benefit. I do think that having a qualified professional helping you along is good. And I also want to say Indigenous people have been using them forever in certain ways and in ceremonial ways. And I think where we've gotten off in our culture using any substance is we don't use it in ceremony or in a sacred way. And so we end up in trouble and addicted to different kinds of substances, even just marijuana, using it not in a way that I think from an Indigenous perspective, it would have seen as being used in a sacred space and in ceremony and with support. So I think a lot of any of those plant medicines can be useful for us, but with awareness and care.
I'd like to tack on to that if I could. And because I'm fascinated by behavioral psychology, and as I mentioned earlier, all behavior makes sense. And the thing that we want to consider here is, when we go to use maybe a substance such as this, are we using this with the interest of healing, or are we using this as a way of coping and escape? And so there's even a way that we can approach this that's healthy versus unhealthy. When we try to use it as a way of coping and escape, it means we're actually avoiding dealing with the root cause of the problem. And I think Carol could probably share more about this as well. But when we want to use something like this, approach it from how can I use this to potentially heal, grow, change, and transform versus hide from the challenges and problems that I'm facing.
Yes. I'd love to hear from you, Donna.
Yeah, I agree, John, too. And providing that it's done with the awareness that it is there for the purpose of being able to heal themselves under a controlled basis and not for the purpose of not being aware of what behaviors will take place if they start using it more than they should. That's not really a word I like to use, but out of a controlled environment and become addicted to these things, then there is potential there to use those natural products to get to a release point where they're able to actually acknowledge and understand and process what they've been through and let go of that.
But you help work with your clients to process without any type of assistance, correct? I just want to make that clear.
Without any kind of assistance, correct. I do hypnosis. That's about as good as it gets. Absolutely. And like you, Sharifa, not denying, not admitting to anything. I think there's a purpose for everything. And I believe that, I would prefer to use natural products rather than pharmaceutical products. I do believe that there is a need at times for pharmaceutical products, but I'm very much plant-based and about, being able to live holistically and wholly through nature and the abundance that we have around us and reserving the planet at the same time. So for me, that's how I help my clients work through things as well. Like looking at, I've definitely had clients who have had addictions and helped them through that as well. Just through processes of looking at, like John said, getting to the root cause of what that behavior is and getting them to understand and know and appreciate what their life journey's been about and where they can go from there without relying on those substances.
Yes, absolutely. This has been an interesting conversation. We had a couple of different directions, but I definitely enjoyed it. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Coach Carol.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed meeting everybody. I guess the thing I'd love you to take away, audience, and I appreciate your listening from me, is to be curious about, again, wondering about yourself and about your relationship with the world and how that kind of weaves in and out of your life. So yourself and the world. And you can do that. You can go to wonderuprising.com. I have a lot of free resources, created some guidebooks that have some questions and prompts that sort of help us get out of our older perspectives or some of our conditioning and into being able to see the world and the work that you want to do in the world from a wider lens. So thanks again for listening.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. Donna, what do you have for us?
Yeah, look, I'm very much the same. I like to give my clients as much as I possibly can with the perspective of them looking at things from a different light, and knowing that there are people there to support them and understand where they've come from, and knowing that whatever their experience has been in life, that it is important to know who you truly are and know that there's a reason for your journey, and you know, take it with forgiveness, take it with gratitude, because it's making you who you are. And I also have free resources on my website, uniquevibrations.com, or I'm happy to have a chat with anybody if they need some support, and you can contact me through social media to organize that, or through my website, both of them under Unique Vibrations. So, you know, if there's anybody who wants to have a chat and get some clarity around where they want to be, what they want to do, and walk away with some really clear next steps on how to proceed with their life.
I love it. I'm going to go get some clarity over there with Donna, and then I'm going to let John use his superpowers and his X-ray vision on me.
This show definitely took a different direction than I was expecting, but I absolutely loved it. This has been just a delightful conversation, and I love the opportunity to connect with all these other wonderful human beings. It's awesome. But maybe if you've been out there watching this and you're thinking, like, I have an idea that I'd like to bring into the world, I'd love to have a conversation with you about that, because building business is in one sense, it's easier than ever because of the power of technology and the power of the internet. And I'd love to show people how to leverage it effectively and be able to create a life where they can make a bigger impact. Because I think we're moving into this age where we're starting to have a change in collective consciousness that business is about more than just, you know, large corporate structures extracting and taking things away. If we could think about business as a way of like giving back, giving value, creating value, and changing lives, I think it's a wonderful thing. And so I also do have some free trainings on johnmclaren.com where I show you some of the steps you can take to get this process started for yourself. But I also offer people a free 30-minute business audit where I'll sit down and I'll chat with you about your idea. Some of my clients that I mentor have called me the content whisperer. It's kind of the ability to, again, see this potential that lies within people and draw things out of them. And so I'd love to have a conversation with you about that.
I'm going to go have a session and we'll do some content whispering, John. Thank you, Miss Gregory. Go ahead and take us out of the show.
All right, people. This is a writer downer. This was John Cougar Mellencamp's grandmother's quote. Life is short, even on the longest day. It's a ponderable, to be sure. So my question for you is, how do you want your days to look, to feel? Are you fully expressed? Are you able to do all the things you want to do because your physical form can support that? Is your heart open and happy? These are the kinds of things that I work with my people on, both at Rebellious Wellness Over 50 and at my copywriting and marketing business, which is Be More Marketable. How are they the same? Full expression. The only thing that sets us apart in the world of business is us bringing ourselves to that business, to the world in the way that we do it. The only thing that makes our life as rich and valuable and beautiful and enjoyable as possible is that we do things the way it feels best for us, that is in keeping with the way our bodies want to be treated.
That was beautiful. That was almost like a poem. The way you speak, it was just poetry. I didn't even know when the quote ended and then your part started. I thought that was just so wonderful. I definitely have to go over there and talk to Gregory. This has been an incredible show. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you sharing. But as I always ask, please support our guests. They were here with you this morning to share their information. They gave us a lot of honest information without admitting, denying, confirming anything. We learned a lot about a lot of different things. So please support them. Visit their websites. The link is in the description. Follow them on social media. Send them a message. Reach out to them. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe, and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.